Night 6 of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Please join us this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll have Mass for the Solemnity of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, followed by a light breakfast. This evening, Sister Mary Catherine will speak about Saint Joseph, Master of the Interior Life.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask your mother to help us to be faithful in the ordinary events of our day and to bring Saint Joseph into our lives. Saint Joseph, most faithful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know what Joseph's favorite name for his spouse was? Sweetheart of Mary. Saint Joseph, you are the hidden fragrance in our lives. Have you ever sniffed a fragrance, not knowing the source? Joseph is that fragrance in our lives, hidden but potent. It may be your experience that you love Saint Joseph, but you're not aware of his presence as is Mary's. Again, if this is the case, it's part of his hiddenness. Tonight, we'll explore Joseph's interior life, looking specifically at his faith, a faith expressing itself in silence, at waiting, and adoration. What is faith? Scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Joseph, our model in trusting faith, believed all of God's teachings, but he also trusted the Lord in everyday's normal circumstances. Remember, Jesus appeared as a little boy, a baby. Joseph believed, nonetheless, in his child's divinity. What's faith's greatest challenge? According to St. Peter Julian Emard, it's a God who's powerless and weak. The first Christians witnessed miracles in our Lord's public life, and after his passion and death, they either witnessed or heard about the greatest miracle, his resurrection. According to St. Emard, these first Christians were ignited in their faith by these miracles. However, Saint Joseph did not have such miracles. He only saw a baby, a little boy, a young man. Saint Julian Emard writes that he, and this saint was a great saint of the Eucharist, finds it hard to picture Saint Joseph's constant belief. Joseph looked on our Lord and physically saw only humanity, a crying baby, a toddler trying to walk, a little boy learning carpentry for the first time. Additionally, it was at times challenging for Saint Joseph to be faithful, as it's challenging for us at times. We all have dreams for our life. Joseph probably had his dream. When God changed that dream, Joseph accepted. We each have our aspirations, and most likely some of those have been shattered. When a dream breaks, we experience heartache and anger. Why me? This initial response is healthy if it isn't prolonged. Our emotions naturally resist a perceived evil. However, Joseph teaches us to trust in the midst of broken dreams and see God's dream, far surpassing any happiness our aspirations can give. His silence. As the sisters have well brought out, Mary at least spoke a few words recorded in the Gospels. Joseph had none. Action marked Joseph in the Gospels. He immediately took Mary as his wife, despite agonizing doubts over his unworthiness. God willed, it was done. He immediately left for Egypt to protect Jesus despite the journey's difficulty. God willed, he obeyed. Cause of these heroic acts, his contemplative prayer, wrought by silent receptivity to God. Silence is not taciturnity, an unwillingness or fear of speaking. True silence consists of protecting our inner dialogue with the Lord. Silence is a response to the presence of another person. Another word for silence, attentiveness. Father Jordan Ammon, an eminent writer of spiritual theology, tells us that we need attentiveness to respond to the Holy Spirit. St. Joseph's only desire in his life was to be with Jesus and Mary. Therefore, he was silent or attentive to them. What's the effect of silence? In his book, The Power of Silence Against the Dictatorship of Noise, Cardinal Robert Seurat shows how quiet envelops those who love. When we are lovers, we always notice the slightest gesture of the one whom we love. It's the same with prayer. If we're accustomed to praying often, we can grasp the meaning of God's silence. There are signs that only two fiancés can understand. The person of prayer is also the one to grasp the silent signs of God's affection. Silence also enables us to answer God's call. Often people ask, how can I know what God wants? Pope Francis answers by describing St. Joseph. After each dream, Joseph had to change his plans and take a risk, sacrificing his own plans in order to follow God's mysterious designs. It may seem strange to us that he would trust in dreams without hesitation. Why, muses Pope Francis? The Pope answers his own question. Because his heart was already inclined toward God. A small indication was enough for his watchful inner ear to recognize the Lord's voice. God's call to each of us happens in the same way. The Lord quietly speaks in the depths of our heart, drawing near and speaking to us through our thoughts and feelings. Despite the truth of this silence power, people have strange notions of silence. The devil likes us to avoid silence. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis show hell as a kingdom of noise. The letters portray a master devil, Screwtape, instructing a devil new on the job, just beginning to tempt humans. Screwtape reveals a strategy: distract humans with noise. If they become distracted, they can't hear God's voice. Just listen to Screwtape in C.S. Lewis's own words. Sacred music and silence, how I detest them both. Hell has been occupied by noise. Noise, the grand dynamism, the audible expression of all that is exultant, ruthless, virile. Noise which alone defends us from silly qualms, despairing scruples, impossible desires. We'll make the whole universe a noise in the end. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end. To many today, silence appears dressed as emptiness, just as a devil would want it to appear. Pope Benedict XVI discusses this contemporary emptiness. Many of us want to fill every moment with music and images out of fear of feeling the emptiness. This is a trend that's always existed, but today it's risen to such a degree that we call it anthropological mutation. What in the world is anthropological mutation? The Pope, as a good teacher, answers. It is this: as we grow less used to silence, we become less human. Is this difficult to believe in 2021? Evidence shows how constant noise hurts us physically, emotionally, intellectually. Chronic noise leads to anxiety, depression, and poor cardiovascular health. The opposite is true as well. When we grow in silence, we grow humanly. When we're able to pause in silence, we can check in with our body and our emotions. And this checking in helps us to take better care of ourselves. And because we become increasingly aware of what we are bringing into our relationships. A study showed that regular contemplative practice causes positive images in our brains, improving working memory, verbal filter, emotional regulation, and focus. Because of his contemplative silence, Saint Joseph was not only very holy, but physically, emotionally, and intellectually healthy. Now we may ask, well, how can I practice? How can we all better practice silence? Plato gives us a guiding principle. Wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools speak because they have to say something. Some practices for silence. 1, choose our words wisely. Let's talk intentionally, accomplishing something good with our words. When speaking, let's say something that inspires, something that causes laughter, something that shows wisdom, something that shares love. 2nd point or practice, listen. We're all guilty, probably, of having conversations in which we're halfway listening, meaning we take in the overall topic, but all the while thinking about what we want to say and when we can get in. When another person is talking, and perhaps at length, it's our opportunity to practice silence. Not just being silent with our mouths, but actually listening with our whole being and being attentive to the other person. 3rd, don't react. Silence can create peace in the midst of conflict. If someone in our lives, our spouse, coworker, friend, whoever, decides to practice random acts of rudeness with us, there's nothing to say except our egos that we have to react. Let's take away the idol of the false self and enthrone our Lord, who inspire us either to remain meekly, quiet, or come back with loving response. Silence allows us to hear what the other person is really intending and what's important in the situation. Now think about a situation in which instead of simply being reflective, we, and perhaps many of us are guilty, I know I am, we reacted instantly to what was said, either with words or a text. Now think about that situation and what could have happened if we had remained silent. Maybe the conflict would have disappeared, or we would come back with wise thoughts. Again, Joseph shows us the way. I can't see him interrupting, talking just to talk, and reacting to a confrontation. Instead, I see him choosing words wisely, talking, creating a special atmosphere, and being the peacemaker. Fourth practice, carve a space for solitude, even if it means waking up 5 minutes earlier. Even the busiest parent can have some silence, the mother perhaps as she nurses her baby in the quiet of the night, the father as he drives to work. Fifth, let's not fill every second with noise. If we're driving, let's leave the radio or music off. If we're home, let's turn off the TV. Let's avoid mindlessly checking our phones while in line or in spare moments. God does give us precious time to be silent. Let's embrace those moments. If nothing comes to mind during these times of silence, then let's say a memorare novena, or a Hail Mary, or Hail Marys, or the Jesus Prayer. Where do you and I find our comfort? Hopefully the answer is in God first. In all his trials, Joseph first sought comfort from his interior life with the Lord. Joseph's waiting and our waiting. Joseph experienced waiting. How did he respond? With patience, marked by trust. He did not know what to do with his pregnant betrothed. He only knew he wasn't good enough. However, how could he just leave her? This struggle did not immediately disappear. Likewise, you and I often have situations come up in our life that demands at times a patient waiting. Like Joseph, in our struggles, we need trust. Other situations in life can arouse toxic responses. I imagine that Joseph encountered rebuffs, mocking glances, yet controlled any inclination to fight back. Probably in his travels, other pilgrims rudely passed him by, or he was behind a group whose donkey trotted overly slow. Did Joseph yell or get angry or say choice Aramaic words at the rude or slow driver? We too, in traffic, often experience highway rudeness of erratic drivers or the painful slowness of the driver ahead of us. What is our response? Is it that of Joseph's? Joseph's loving adoration. St. John Paul II named St. Peter Julian Emard, of whom we've already quoted, the Apostle of the Eucharist. St. Peter Julian exuded a holy obsession for our Lord's real presence. Emard also revered St. Joseph, by the way Emard lived in the 19th century. This isn't a coincidence, since St. Joseph lived a life of adoration. St. Emard called Joseph, along with Mary, the first adorers. As an adorer entirely given to Jesus, St. Joseph labored near him, giving Jesus his time, his life. St. Peter writes that Joseph adored the incarnate God even while he was in Mary's womb, as if a living ciborium. If St. Joseph lived with Jesus for many years, Peter Julian tells us, it's logical that he lived in perpetual adoration. Their home was like and Adoration Chapel. St. Peter Julian enjoins us, have confidence in St. Joseph. Take him as a patron of your life in adoration. To conclude, I want to share an unusual novena I found that's easy to make. Father Louis Lalemant, a great master of the interior life, composed this novena. Father Lalemant one day urged two young priests to make this 9-day prayer to St. Joseph, promising they would obtain everything they asked for if they showed Joseph honor and spread devotion to him. One priest said he had one intention but wished to change it on the second day. His initial intention, the grace of speaking and writing worthily of our Lord. The fervent young priest felt that he should pray for something more conducive to his own holiness. Father Lalemant responded, "It's already been answered." This was the second day. That young priest, for the rest of his life, became a renowned preacher and author. On the second day, St. Joseph answered his novena. How can we make this novena? And by the way, if you wish to make this, Sister Marie Bernadette graciously made some lovely cards for each one of us. Every day, 4 times a day, turn to St. Joseph in spirit and honor him. These visits, by the way, can be made anywhere, in the car, tractor, and at any time. I want to go over the first visit meditatively with you and then just mention the three other topics. And again, if you wish, feel free to take one or more for your families and friends. First, we reflect upon St. Joseph's fidelity to grace, meditating upon the action of the Holy Spirit in his soul. Thank God for honoring St. Joseph with this grace. Ask for the same grace. That's how simple this novena is. Second, the topic in the novena, Joseph's fidelity, the interior life, reflect, thank God, and ask. Third, Joseph's love for Our Lady, reflect, thank God, and ask. Fourth, St. Joseph's love for the divine child, reflect, thank God, and ask. St. Joseph merits for us the interior life, especially by his trusting faith, silence, and adoring love of the hidden Jesus. May St. Joseph inundate each of you with these graces, especially in your daily lives, and may you too become a hidden fragrance for others. St. Joseph, master of the interior life, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Welcome. You are welcome to partake of our delicious IHM treats. Listen, they're homemade. Listen to the number, which might get you a prize which the sisters obtain in Rome.